In the spring of 1975, America had begun to move on from the experience of the Vietnam War. But the war was still going on between the South and the North.
The final battle of Saigon has begun.
That morning,
there must have been at least 10,000 people ringing the embassy.
Panic has swept from the coastal city's crowded back streets and pagodas onto runways at the airport.
Our plane is surrounded here. I don't know how the hell we're going to get out. We're racing down the runway, leaving behind hundreds and thousands of people.
News footage from CBS News and the Rory Kennedy documentary Last Days in Vietnam, days when people went from being citizens to being prisoners to entering a life as refugees and immigrants. Andrew Lam grew up in Da Lat, the son of a South Vietnamese general, and at the age of 11, he was on one of those last helicopters to leave Vietnam in the spring of 1975, along with his mother, sisters, and grandmothers. Lam and his family landed in a strange place thousands of miles from home, one of the first refugee families to arrive in the United States after the war, and one of the very first to arrive in Daly City, just south of San Francisco, where he found a new life, eventually to become a celebrated writer of stories and commentary on the Vietnamese diaspora. With Takeaway producer Jillian Weinberger, Andrew Lam went back to the place where everything was once unfamiliar and brand new.
There's a lot of memory with this building because it used to be an ice cream store. And when I was young in Vietnam, the only impression I have of America is that it has 31 flavor ice cream. On my 12th birthday, I remember my cousin gave me a quarter because we were so poor when we just got here. So, and I went here and got a double scoop ice cream for my first time in America.
Today, we're in Daly City. The tech boom has sent real estate prices skyrocketing across the Bay Area. But Daly City hasn't strayed too far from its working-class immigrant roots, just as Lam remembers it.
When we got here, there were a mixed group of people, which is always the case of Daly City. Black, Filipinos, Samoans, Nicaraguans. And I experienced some racism, but in general, I would say that it was an extraordinary America that welcomed me.
How does it feel just to be back in the neighborhood?
You know, it actually brings back a sense of joy. I remember when we bought that house, we were so happy because we had become a middle-class American family within 3-4 years' time in America. Instead of refugees, we became immigrants. You know, we were not just a people fleeing anymore, but we were people who slowly have our roots embedded in America.
In a story called Show and Tell from Lam's recent collection, Birds of Paradise Lost, a young Vietnamese refugee arrives in a Daly City classroom in 1975, at the age of 11, just like Lam.
I was the first refugee kid to enter an America's classroom in 1975, right off the television, because it was the first television war in America. So the kids, even though they didn't know much about Vietnam, they saw images of it nightly with Walter Cronkite.
For it seems now more certain than ever that the bloody experience of Vietnam is to end in a stalemate.
And here I was, this kid that was at the other side of the TV set, emerged into their classroom, so they were really fascinated.
Our next stop in Daly City is the Vietnamese restaurant owned and operated by Andrew Lam's aunt and his first home in America, the two-bedroom apartment above that restaurant, which once housed 16 of his family members.
And so this is my first home in America, and it hasn't changed a whole lot 40 years later, which is truly amazing. So we remember 6233 as the restaurant and 6231 as the apartment.
Lam's aunt eventually sold the restaurant to his mother, and his family spent the next 4 years there. Today it's called Manila Restaurant, and it's owned by a Filipino family.
I want to try something. My parents used to own this restaurant many years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
So, over two plates of Filipino barbecue and rice, I asked Lam about the beginning of his new life after he left Vietnam on April 28, 1975, and arrived in the Bay Area, then the epicenter of the anti-war movement.
There were a lot of anti-war people in this country, and back then I wouldn't want to talk with them because the American withdrawal from Vietnam basically caused South Vietnam to fall apart. And so it's fine to be anti-war, but what about the people that you encourage to fight and abandon in the middle of war, you know, battlefield? I ran into the same kind of attitude when I was in Berkeley, for instance, where people romanticize Ho Chi Minh, whereas I regard him as the cause of my own suffering.
For many refugees, that suffering made talking about life in Vietnam, before or after the war, difficult or impossible. But not in Lam's family, at least when it came to the war and its aftermath.
I'm really lucky because my parents have been in sort of a leadership position. They were public figures. So for them, articulating about history, about what happened, it's kind of normal. But I've run into kids when I gave my talks, Vietnamese kids who are born in this country, who read my book and came up and said, I really want to thank you for writing this book because now I know what it's like for my parents. They never talk about it.
And so many of these refugees, silent on their suffering and their personal lives, landed in the Bay Area in a time when the division between the private and the public was eroding, an era of frank talk and action on race, gender, and sexuality.
One of the most conservative people in the old world were picked up and then deposited in the land where you have love ins, drop out hippies, you know, summer of love, right? It's a cultural shock for sure. When I was a young teenager, I remember Harvey Milk being killed, and I didn't know what that was about. And my aunt would drive us afterwards down Castro, and she said, these are gay people. And I didn't know what that means, except for, of course, my eyes started to wander.
And it seems that while Lam's parents talk frankly and openly about their wartime experiences, their fully Americanized son still knows there are some topics he can't broach.
The story of my life, unfortunately, is on Wikipedia. But there is no such thing as coming out in my family because you don't talk about these things. You know, you can read my work if you care to. So,
Andrew Lam talking to The Takeaway's Jillian Weinberger in Daly City, California.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.